Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I'm just taking a look at the shooting alleged to have occurred in Monterey Park, California, not far from where I grew up in South Pasadena. Here are some of the reports, and this is the first time I've taken a look. At least 10 people were killed in a mass shooting Saturday at a dance studio in Monterey Park, California, as the city's Asian American community was celebrating Lunar New Year weekend. Authorities said a 72-year-old man, suspected gunman, was found dead Sunday with a self-inflicted gunshot wound after officers approached his vehicles. Investigators have yet to determine a motive. The man had been a regular presence at the dance studio where the shooting occurred, Sources told CNN, shortly after the attack. Police say the gunman showed up at a second studio in nearby Alhambra, which is right across the street from Huntington Drive, where I resided in South Pasadena, where patrons confronted and disarmed him. Now, right off the bat, I say, okay, Asian American, that's nice. It's a change of pace, right? We've been down in Uvalde. We got Mexican Americans. We've had a lot of white shootings, let's vary the cadence. Orlando, a bunch of gays. I mean, frankly, if I wanted, you know, if I were running this, and in my opinion, Eric Holder has been running these things even now, is behind the scene operating in the Biden administration, where many of us believe that Barack Obama is having his third term effing the American people. And I suspect Eric Holder is behind these various shootings. I think that's his new area of specialization. So if you're looking for a little variation on the theme, why not? Asian Americans, perfect. Lunar New Year, perfect. Out in California, we haven't had one there in quite a long time. So I think it's suspicious on its face. Let's see what else we can ascertain here. I really thought I would have to shoot him, says the man who stopped the Monterey Park mass shooter. Brandon Say is being hailed as a hero. for stopping the Monterey Park mass shooter at the La La Ballroom in Alhambra, California, told ABC that the incident had left him shook. Not shaken, shook. It was Chinese New Year. We were hosting a social dance party. I was in the lobby. It was late into the evening. Most of our customers already left. I wasn't paying attention to the front door. I was looking into the dance ballroom, the dance floor. And this is when I heard the sound of the front door quickly closing and instantly followed by the sound of a metal object clinking together as if they were robbing, Trey says. That's when I turned around and saw that there was an Asian man holding a gun. I don't have any info on the gun yet. I think that's going to be very important. He's metal object clinking together as if they were robbing. That sounds a little odd to me. Turned around and saw there was an Asian man. Now, remember, we had in Buffalo, we had the absurdity of this black guy claiming he had a conversation with a reported shooter the day before for an hour, and he even bought him Gatorade, which is that some, maybe in Scorpio, made the first observation. What self-respecting white supremacist says this guy is supposed to be is going to spend an hour talking to a black guy about critical race theory? And then, later when he was interviewed, he said the second shot occurred 1.6 seconds after the first, and the next shot was 0.7 seconds. I mean, talk about absurdities. How could he possibly know it was 1.6 seconds? You'd have to have a stopwatch. You'd have to know when to start your stopwatch, when to stop your stopwatch. Who's doing this? I mean, that was just absurd. So I'm looking here and asking myself, have we got any similarities here? Because the Buffalo was ridiculous. I did several interviews with Brian Davidson, who's a licensed Texas private investigator, who's done brilliant work on Boston, on Uvalde, and on Sandy Hook. It was he who put together the Appendix E for my Supreme Court case, where he was going through the photographic archives for the Connecticut State Police, who were up to their eyeballs in this. They appeared to have been running the whole show behind the scene. And he found photograph after photograph contradicting the official narrative. For example, in the hallway, according to the official report, there are the bodies of the principal and the school psychologist, Don Hoffspring and Mary Sherlock, in pools of blood. But Brian found a photograph in the hallway. I mean, mind you, this is a crime scene photograph, right, purportedly, and it's completely bereft of any bodies and no blood. No bodies, no blood. Then he's inside a classroom where we're expecting to see a pile of little bodies and blood everywhere. No bodies, no blood. Not even any school desks and chairs. Not even any teacher's desk. The furniture is all pushed up against the wall. No American flag. So what he found there was not only evidence it hadn't been a mass shooting, but even proof that it wasn't even an operating school, which is what I've maintained from the beginning. For my book, of course, I brought together 13 experts, six PhDs, concluded the school had been closed by 2008. I now believe it was actually closed in 2006. It was loaded with asbestos and other biohazards. And by the way, it's called Sandy Hook School. Not Sandy Hook Elementary School. I do not believe it was actually an elementary school. I believe it was a facility, a school for special needs kids. That's why you didn't have the right kind of driveway. If you got an elementary school, a lot of people picking up, dropping off buses, you need to have them come into one side, go out the other, a U or horseshoe-shaped driveway. This is one single access route. There was no place for, you know, buses to park. And remember, buses are good size vehicles. There weren't any bicycle racks. It wasn't even obvious where you could come to deliver cafeteria product. I mean, according to the Danbury State's Attorney Stephen Sadinsky III, who did the official report on this, there are 489 students there that day. I don't think that structure could possibly hold 489 students. I think this is rather absurd. Right on the face of it, absurd. And in order to comply with the American with Disability Act, you'd have to have the familiar white and blue painted parking lots. You'd have to have the white and blue signage. You'd have to have every access route in and out wheelchair accessible, none of which was true. None of which was true. And I checked the law at the time for both Connecticut and the United States for the American with Disability Act. That could not have legally been an operating school in 2012. So I think the brain trust behind all of this really was very sloppy. And this is why they've had to be so ferocious in cracking down on any of us who are seeking to expose the hoax. And by God, it continues to this day. So what do we got here? We got another fake shooting out in California. My first thought was, I'm going to die here. This is it, say at it. The man was identified as 72-year-old Hu Can Tran, who later died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Well, that's standard. You got to get him out of the way, right? Dead men tell no tales. CNN previously reported, say, said he didn't recognize his shooter. He didn't seem like he was here for any money. It wasn't here to rob us. When he was looking around the room, it seemed like he was looking for targets, people to harm. He said he needed to disarm the shooter or else everyone would have died. Something came over me. I realized I decided to get the weapon away from him, he said. When I got the courage, I lunged at him with both my hands, grabbed the weapon. We had a struggle. He struggled into the lobby trying to get this gun away from each other. He was hitting me across the face, bashing the back of my head. I was trying to use my elbows to separate the gun from him, create some distance. Well, what the hell gun was this? Does anything sound odd about this? When I got the courage, we struggled. Once he was able to seize a gun from the shooter, he told the man to leave. Leave? Leave? Was he in there killing people? If he killed 10 people, you don't tell him to leave. At this point, I would run away, but he was just standing there contemplating whether to fight or to run away. I really thought I would have to shoot him. But the shooter walked out the door and returned to his van, adding that he was when he called the police. The incident left him with bruising on his body across the nose and the back of his head. After the incident, I was shook. I was shaken all night. I couldn't believe what happened. A lot of people have been telling me how much courage I had to confront the situation like this, they said. But you know what courage is? And I find this extremely suspicious, right up there with a 1.6 seconds. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the ability to have adversity of fear when fearful events happen, such as this. Now, who in the world is going to say something like that? Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the ability to have adversity of fear when fearful events happen like this. That sounds completely contrived. Completely contrived. What are we getting about the weapon? Here we got Monterey Park shooting is a tragedy of incomprehensible proportions, California representative said. I don't know, 10 people dead, is that of incomprehensible proportions? Sounds pretty comprehensible. I mean, you can count the dead on the fingers of your hands. Representative Mark Takano says a shooting that took place in Monterey Park on Saturday is a tragedy of incomprehensible proportions. Takano represents Riverside County, which is near where the mass shooting took place. Well, look, it was in Alhambra. That's in Los Angeles County, like South Pasadena. Said the area has vibrant communities, Asian American communities. The shooting took place as a community celebrated Lunar New Year, which is Kano's at a very important time for Asian Americans. He says that's a joyous time of year for families to get together, and to have a tragedy like this happen on the eve of the Lunar New Year is just incredibly sad and tragic, said the representative, who's also the vice chair of the Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus. I just want to emphasize to the community that thanks to the good work of L.A. County Sheriff Robert Luna and his deputies, the suspect was identified very quickly. We know the suspect took his own life so the community can feel safe from that threat. Now, notice he took his own life, but we had our hero. And by the way, I think that was part of the whole idea here, was to create a hero who took his gun from him. So how'd he kill himself? We got the hero taking the gun and letting him run away. Why the hell would he let him run away? Had he not actually shot a bunch of people? And if he didn't shoot a bunch of people, then we don't have a great tragedy of incomprehensible proportions. Let's see what else we can find about here. Kamala Harris mourns victims of Monterey Park shooting before speech to mark 50 years since Roe. Coroner's office is working to identify victims of Monterey Park mass shooting. Authorities are working to identify the victims of the shooting in Monterey Park, California, according to Los Angeles Sheriff, County Sheriff Robert Luna. Officials have not yet named the 10 people who were killed. Luna said the victims are generally older than 50. 7 of the 10 were still hospitalized Sunday. 7 of the 10 injured were still hospital. Okay, so 10 killed, 10 injured. Please keep in mind, especially with the deceased victim, the coroner's office retrieved the remains not that long ago, so they're still in the process of identifying. There's a lot of work that needs to be done to answer a lot of questions that all of us have. Honestly, this just doesn't sound right. I don't have a specific age because they have not been identified, but they're not in their 20s or 30s. They seem to be probably, I'd say, in their 50s, 60s, maybe some beyond that. The mass shooting is one of the deadliest in California's history, and at least a 33rd. Look at that, the 33rd. My God, the 33rd. Just like the players standing up when they're all huddling, you know, after the Bills lose their player. There's a guy standing as a jersey with the number 33 on it. According to the Gun Violence Archive, which, like CNN, defines a mass shooting as one in which four or more people are shot, excluding the shooter. They redefined it, by the way, to drive up the numbers. The violence came as a shock to many who felt Monterey Park, where some 65% of residents are of Asian descent, as a safe enclave for the robust Asian community. Amid Saturday night's carnage and fear, the city canceled the second of its Lunar New Year festival, typically one of its most joyous holidays. We got a second suspect? New York Times, men described disarming suspected Monterey Park gunman as second dance hall location. A man who encountered the suspect at the Alhambra Dance Hall just minutes from the scene of the massacre said he knew immediately the arrested man was dangerous. He was looking at me and looking around, not hiding. He was trying to do us harm. His eyes were menacing, no doubt. Brandon say, this is our hero. He was first alerted to the man present when he heard the front door of the La La Ballroom and Studio close, and he was working the ticket office in the business. His family has run for 3 generations. He pointed a semi-automatic weapon at Say, saying it was the first gun he'd seen in real life. First gun he'd seen in real life? My heart sank. I knew he was going to die from his body language, his facial expression, his eyes. He was looking for people. Now, there's another dumb comment. He struggled with the man for about a minute and a half, eventually wrestled. He was able to grab the weapon when he took his hand off us after to manipulate it to begin shooting. So it's supposed to be a semi-automatic weapon. Here's another. Monterey Park gunman motive is still... This looks like horse shit to me, I'll just tell you right off the bat. This does not look legit to me. Investigators in Monterey Park are still searching for the motive of a gunman who killed 10 people and injured 10 others doing a shooting inside a ballroom dance studio Saturday night. The suspect, identified as 72-year-old Hu Can Tran. You know, often they use names that are intended to rub our nose in it. Hu Can Tran, located in the nearby city of Torrance, where he died after shooting himself as police approached his vehicle hours earlier. A gunman had walked into the Star Ballroom Stand Studio shortly before 10:30, not long after the city's streets had been crowded by thousands of festival goers. After releasing a barrage of gunfire on the people inside, the gunman drove to a second dance hall in neighboring Alhambra, where he entered with a firearm but fled after being confronted by two patrons. I didn't hear about this other patron who confronted him. But I'll tell you, he's going to a second dance hall. This is Shades of New Zealand, right? That was, of course, completely fraudulent down in New Zealand. It was like a video game. You had a fake weapon. It was all painted up. You had him shooting people at the door of the mosque where there's no blood. They fall down. He goes in. When he enters a big room, there's already a stack of bodies at the end of the room. They're already stacked up. He's not even got into the room yet, and they're stacked up. This sounds to me like a combination of New Zealand and what? Orlando. New Zealand and Orlando. After releasing a barrage of gunfire, he drove to a second dance hall in neighboring Alhambra. Let's see what we got. The victims. Authorities have not named any of those killed or injured, still working to identify. Why is that? How can that be? Normally, you get identification pretty damn fast. Suspect found in nearby city. At around 10:20 a.m. Sunday, police in the city of Torrance, about 30 miles southwest of Monterey Park, spotted a white cargo van matching the description of one seen leaving the scene of the Alhambra dance studio. Remember, that's where he was frustrated, where he was stopped. Going around a dance studio, shoot people up, does that sound like something anyone would do? Officers followed the van into a shopping center parking lot, began getting out of their patrol car to approach the driver, later identified as Tran, but retreated when they heard a gunshot from inside the van. Armored vehicles and SWAT team arrived and eventually cleared the van, discovering Tran dead inside. Evidence linked suspect to shooting inside the van. Investigators found several pieces of evidence linking Tran to both the Monterey Park and Alhambra, not providing for the... Well, what the hell were the several pieces of evidence? A map? With those studio locations identified? They also found a handgun. Police previously said a gun was wrestled from the arrested man at the Alhambra. Three people who knew Tran told CNN... He'd once been a regular patron of the Monterey Park Dance Hall, where he gave informal dance lessons and met his ex-wife. Does that sound like a guy who's going to shoot up a bunch of Asians celebrating the Lunar New Year? Suspect was carrying semi-automatic weapons. Luna described the firearm taken from the man in Alhambra as a magazine-fed semi-automatic assault pistol with an extended large-capacity magazine. A law enforcement official told CNN it was a Cobra M119 9mm semi-automatic. Motive still unknown. Investigators have yet to determine a motive, Luna said, but will be considering any available criminal or mental health history and issue a search warrant for more details. The L.A. Sheriff's Department has obtained a search warrant for Tran's home in Hermit, California, about 80 miles east of Monterey Park, a Hermit police spokesperson confirmed. Well, who could use a little shooting like this? Remember, Kamala Harris needed something for her anti-lynching bill that nobody believed was necessary, so Jussie Smollett performed this absurd feat at 2 a.m. coming out of a subway in a freezing cold winter and was confronted by two right-wingers carrying a bottle of bleach that would have been frozen solid and turned out to be his own personal trainer and an extra on the set whom he paid with a personal check. You got the governor of Illinois, Pritzker, has got this absurd gun ban law in Illinois that the sheriffs in Illinois are refusing to enforce. It sounds to me that this is designed for that. A Cobra M119 millimeter semiotic weapon, an automatic assault pistol, right? We got the assault rifles, now we got the assault pistols. You're going to hear this is a weapon of war. Count this bullshit. This is ridiculous. The absence of details, I don't even see any photographs. This does not add up to me. One photo, but it's a crowd, you know, at a police tape sign, just like we had at Sandy Hook, a police tape up there for a crime that did not occur. We'll be right back.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I got a couple experts lined up to give us the goods on what's going on in Ukraine. Well, you may or may not be aware that some 50 NATO generals got together to figure out what the hell to do. They're in such a predicament. And if they have a brain among them, which is unlikely, they'll recognize that trying to defeat Russia is pointless. And that if they were at all successful, it would lead to a nuclear war. I mean, Moscow has been completely open and above board about this. So I got two clips lined up. One is from Colonel McGregor, and the other is from Scott Ritter. These are two of the most knowledgeable guys. And I may or not play them all, but they're going to give you a very, very good idea what the hell is going on in Ukraine, even as we speak. These are no-nonsense guys who know their stuff. So let's go ahead with Colonel McGregor.
Ukrainian loss ratio in the conflagration between Ukraine and Russia. Can you explain what is meant by that and how badly the Ukrainians are suffering compared to their Russian adversaries?
Sure, absolutely. We reckon that we can confirm 122,000 Ukrainian dead through various open sources, newspapers, obituaries, people on the ground counting. However, we've also managed to discover that there are at least 35,000 missing in action, presumed dead. So if you add those two sums together, you come up with roughly 157,000 dead. And that's about right. If you add to that another 300 plus thousand casualties, you have a good picture of what effectively has been the total destruction of the Ukrainian army that they began the war with and an attempt to build back with reserves and untrained recruits. Now, on the Russian side, we can account for somewhere between 16 and 20,000 dead and perhaps 50,000 wounded. When you run the calculus, that's about one Ukrainian killed for every one Russian killed. That's a losing proposition in a war. Excuse me, one Russian killed for every 8 Ukrainians killed.
Right.
And that is a losing proposition.
8 times as many Ukrainian soldiers dead as Russian soldiers dead.
Yes.
Not disputed, factually acquired from open sources. Fair to say?
Yes, absolutely. Now, bear in mind, the Ukrainians have never told the truth about their deteriorating situation. So you're not going to get the Ukrainian government under any circumstances to admit to that. On the other hand, they'll lie to you prolifically about all the Russian troops that they theoretically killed or wounded. But these figures are pretty good. They're from people on the ground, people in international organizations, people looking at the situation on the ground through satellites, a combination of all those sources, reading papers, reading reports, and so forth. And I think it's a good snapshot of where we are right now. Everyone goes back to the beginning in February of this year, when Russia went in with a very different set of assumptions that led to, in my judgment, a mistake. They went in thinking that they were going to reach some sort of negotiated settlement. They wanted to use a small force, minimize damage. What happened is that people walked away from that experience saying, well, the Russians are obviously incompetent. They're weak. They don't know what they're doing. This is not true, but that's what we thought. And as you know, historically, Washington always emotes. It doesn't think. And Washington was so enamored of the idea that the Russians were weak and incompetently led that they decided to pile on. And they've been piling on ever since. Ultimately, the outcome, though, for Ukraine is that Ukraine has long ago breached the limits of its capabilities. Russia is only now peaking. And the consequence is that they're staring annihilation in the face.
What will be the response or significance militarily, if any, of the introduction of a handful of German and French tanks into the Ukraine military? When General Zaluzhny was interviewed by The Economist, you remember this because you commented on it.
Yeah.
And he said, I need 500 tanks. You said, what he needs and wants is another army.
Yeah, precisely. And he can't get that. It's one thing to get new equipment. It's another to get several different types of equipment. And it's another to find people who are adequately trained and familiar with the equipment to use and employ it effectively. That's the big problem. They've released, my last look at the numbers was about 40 to 50 Bradleys were released from our pre-positioned sets in Europe.
What is a Bradley, Colonel?
It's an infantry fighting vehicle. Its main armament consists of a 25-millimeter automatic cannon on top with a 7.62 machine gun coaxially mounted, plus a tow missile launcher. And it can normally carry 3-man crew, and you can push as many as 6 to 7, even 8 people in the back if you want to. But it's really designed for 6 in the back and 3 on board as the crew.
Can it be characterized as a tank?
No, it's not. It's just an infantry fighting vehicle. It's designed to move infantry to the battlefield and give them fire support. It's a good system. It's not revolutionary, but it's a good system. It has flaws like every armored fighting vehicle system has. But the point is, this is a brand new set of equipment for which the Ukrainians have no infrastructure logistically to support. And it's a system they don't know. And quite frankly, it's complex. It takes a long time to learn how to maintain a 20-millimeter or 25-millimeter automatic cannon with perhaps 1,000 moving parts. This is not something you just hand to somebody and say, go for it. And the same thing's true with the tow missiles. So even though these are arriving now, their ability to have much impact is limited. And hopefully, if they do use these for maximum effect, they will keep them together. The worst thing you can do is parcel these things out across the front where they won't have expertise or logistical support of any kind.
Do we know what type of hardware is about to be sent by Germany and France? Are they actually tanks, and is it more than just a handful? Or stated differently, will it have any impact on whatever France and Germany are about to send? Will it have any impact on the battlefield?
Well, the AMX-30 is a 105-millimeter rifled cannon, similar to, is essentially a British cannon that was mounted on a French wheeled chassis. It's a light armored weapon that has minimal utility. It was designed for use by the French, frankly, in North Africa, something they could rapidly fly into Chad or Algeria or wherever they were required in order to suppress insurgencies or, let us simply say, low-tech enemies. So, no, I wouldn't expect that to have much impact. But best you could do with something like that is use it in ambush inside an urban center where it has some protection. As for the German tanks, they're talking about Leopards. The Germans have provided the Gepard, which is a anti-aircraft gun, and they have had to make more ammunition for it. It's had some success. But as far as tanks are concerned, if they send the Leopard over there, it will be a landmark moment in German history, because the Germans historically have been reluctant to supply belligerents in battle with equipment for reasons that have to do with the interpretation of their constitution.
I wonder why the new chancellor, other than maybe the ideological view that it's NATO's goal to get rid of Putin, is willing to make this historic leap. If you look at the other side of the world, the Japanese are almost making a similar leap with respect to doubling the size of their military budget. And another story for another time. But what is the German chancellor's goal or game here? This can't be popular with the German people, is it?
Well, remember that all the Western publics, along with our own, have been treated to this steady diet of hatred for Russia. I mean, the mainstream media depicts Russia in every conceivable way as unfavorably as it can. Same thing is true in Germany. Lies about what the Russians have or have not done on the battlefield, about their targeting, war fighting, all of that has combined to effectively build some level of support for opposing Russia. And remember, these are old stereotypes that go back to the Second War and the Cold War, so it's easy to dig those up, refresh people's memories. But I think Scholz has lost sight of the fact that he is preeminently the Chancellor of Germany. He is not just, quote unquote, a vassal state of NATO, and that he leads a great power. I think he should seriously reconsider the wisdom of sending anything to Ukraine right now. Not only will it bring up bad memories of the Second World War to see German Iron Crosses painted on the sides of vehicles going into battle against contemporary Russian forces, but it just doesn't make any sense because the Ukrainians have no chance of winning. None of this stuff is going to make any difference to the outcome.
Does the resignation yesterday of the defense minister of Germany have any connection with the chancellor's wish to ratchet up German involvement in the Russia-Ukraine conflagration?
You know, I can't comment directly on that. I doubt it. I just don't know what the background is. But the sad part is that the chancellor's office has indicated that they're looking for another woman to be the defense minister. And this sort of thing is so discouraging when you would think, let's find someone who's competent to do the job to the best degree possible. But apparently that's not too important to the Germans. So I think they're very confused right now. Then, of course, you have the British. They want to send 12 or 14 Challenger 2 tanks. Remember, all of these tanks do not use the same ammunition. It's not only repair parts and engines and everything else. Supplying and sustaining this is a mess. There are probably another 100 Soviet-era tanks from other places potentially available over the next few months. But again, none of this is going to change the outcome. This is tinkering on the margins of a disaster.
Is Putin prepared for taking back Ukraine and the 20 years of guerrilla warfare, which will be waged against his civilian and security forces that are there? And two, won't a Putin victory make Russia poorer, more isolated, and more dictatorial? You want to address either of those challenges?
Sure. Can I start with the second one first?
Please.
And nothing that Russia has done to this point in time has harmed Russia. Russia's position in the world has grown much stronger. Their oil and gas exports are way up. The ruble is stronger. Their economy is stronger. So the notion that somehow or another Russia's decision to intervene in Ukraine to protect itself and eliminate the possibility that Ukraine could become a member of NATO has harmed it, I think is just fundamentally false. And I don't see any effort, any evidence at all that that will change in the near future. Well, the first point, I think, is to keep in mind that mentioning this insurgent warfare that we are theoretically prepared to support for 20 years is probably a guarantee that Russian forces will have to march all the way to the Polish border and to the Romanian border and the Moldovan border.
So that there are no super patriots remaining who want to shoot at Russian security forces from the tops of office buildings.
Yes. I mean, you have to put yourself in the position of the Russian state. If you knew that if you did not do what I just described and completely take Ukraine at this point, you ran the risk of being the victim of such an insurgency and guerrilla tactics. However, on the other hand, I don't think that's something that the Russians ever wanted to do. I mean, Putin is on record several times in the last 10 years of saying that in his judgment, the people of Western Ukraine would be happier under Polish administration than Russian administration on any given day. He knows that he's not going to win friends and cultivate goodwill in Western Ukraine no matter what he does. So I think he would prefer to avoid that. His concern is exactly what you expressed. If I sign an agreement that says consigns everything east of the Dnieper River, east of Kiev, including potentially Odessa, I don't know, but I would suspect so, back to Russian control, will that then be the end of it? That's the question he has to ask. And if we don't sign on for this and we don't supply guarantees of security, then I guess he says I can't sign and he marches all the way to the West. This is the dilemma that we have failed to understand. We have made this much worse than it could have ever been. And it continues to get worse. It's not just piling on all of this extra equipment that's not going to change the military outcome. It's sort of pouring salt in the wound. We made it clear. It's not just regime change. It's humiliate Russia, destroy it, dismember it. Insane. Under those circumstances, I'm surprised that we'll get through this without a nuclear exchange.
Brilliant, brilliant stuff. Now, we have an additional clip from Scott Ritter, but just listen to what Colonel McGregor had to say. None of these additional weapon deliveries are going to make any difference whatsoever. Russia will prevail. They began thinking it would be a limited operation. It turned out that the NATO nations had been using the Minsk Accord as camouflage, deceitful, to arm up, beef up Ukraine to fight Russia when it eventually was forced to intervene because they were moving forward with making Ukraine a member of NATO, even though Russia had declared that was intolerable, that was unacceptable, that Russia would have to intervene if that went forward, and we went ahead and did it anyway. So just as Colonel McGregor is explaining, we are making matters worse and worse and worse. And there's no way we can prevail. And now we've created a situation where even though it was not his intent, Vladimir Putin is going to have to take all of Ukraine. Now, I've been suggesting this would be the case for some time. McGregor laid it out so blatantly, so clearly. You'll have a better understanding from listening to what he just said over the last 10 or 12 minutes than you'll get from any mainstream media source, period, whatsoever. Now we have a second clip from Scott Ritter.
You talked about disenfranchised, commanders in Zelensky's army. I just interviewed one not too long ago. I just posted the interview yesterday. Zelensky's top commanders, who basically said that he was taking, that they have this huge narcotics operation, right? They are making, I think he said $600,000 or $900,000 per day from the troops, from Ukrainian troops selling these narcotics being manufactured in Ukraine to the troops to keep the morale up. And that they're brokering a lot of these weapons, like from the through Saudi Arabia, and or was it Dubai? Well, anyways, you have to watch the interview. It was one of the two, and I was I was really blown away by these. I mean, I knew there was a lot of corruption going on there, but I had no idea the amount. And I think once people start seeing this in Ukraine, once this information starts getting out, not just Ukraine, but in America, it's going to change a lot of minds about this conflict.
Yeah, I mean, one, congratulations on your reporting. And two, you know, none of this is secret. I mean, we've known for a long time Ukraine is a cesspool of corruption.
Sure.
I was in Kiev in November of 1997 with the United Nations Special Commission. I went there together with the Israelis. In fact, they helped broker this this meeting with the National Security Council of Kuchma. And I met with the head of the SBU, Kuchma's people, et cetera, to try and talk them into not allowing these rogue arms dealers to break up former Soviet weapons production capabilities and sell them to the Iraqis, especially ballistic missiles, et cetera. And what I found is that this is just, everybody was greasing everybody's pockets, that this arms dealer had already paid off the right people, that I wasn't going to have any success. In fact, I had to leave because there was concern that if I pushed this point, that one of the competing factions would, in fact, kill me. That's how lawless Ukraine was at the time. But the one thing that came clear is even in 1997, the Ukrainians were coming up and saying, if we help you, will you put a good word in for us with the United States about NATO? We want to be NATO members. If we help you, so it was conditional. If we help you, we don't want to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. We're a United Nations member and we've agreed to support, but we might help you, but you have to give us something, NATO membership. And I just left totally disgusted with the reality of Kiev. Now, you know, I can't say that I know for a fact that from that point on that that Ukraine continued that trajectory of corruption, but all the information I've been able to receive suggests that that is indeed the case. It's one of the most corrupt nations on the planet. So it should come as no surprise, therefore, when you pour in tens of billions of dollars of materiel that has a value. And remember, the Ukrainians aren't, slow to the show, so to speak, about arms dealing. They've been doing illegal arms deals. That's why I was in Ukraine to begin with, because illegal arms trade that was going on out of Ukraine. They've been doing it for a long time. They're experts at it. They're experts at getting small arms and light munitions around the world to people who will pay for it. Illegal arm, the most modern small light weaponry, like the Javelin missile, the Inlaw, the Carl Gustav, any machine guns, mines, ammunition, grenades, etc. All of this is inherently transportable in the back of a car, and there's no accountability. We just give it to them. We suddenly think that the Ukrainians, in a flip of the switch, stopped being the most corrupt people on the planet and started becoming upright citizens who care about their country, care about doing the right thing, and will be honorable when you hand them millions of dollars, billions of dollars worth of merchandise? Or will they revert to form and say, hey, let's take some of this over here? You know, it's like the old in the old days when a box of Nike shoes would show up in New Jersey, be put into a truck and start to make its way to New York City. Invariably, the lock broke, the thing went up, some boxes fell off the truck, and we I arrived and this was open and we lost 20%, but I still have enough shoes here. Well, that's what happened here. A lot of Javelins and Inlaws fell off trucks, so to speak, and they're sold on in a black market system that the Ukrainians are already plugged into because they invented it. There's no reason why the Ukrainians were able to smuggle explosives out of Odessa in a grain shipment. It's not as though that led to, of course, the attack on the Crimea Bridge. It's not as though one day the Ukrainians said, oh, we could do this. They've been doing it. So that how they operate, the entire system of Ukraine is geared towards black marketeering, under the table, illegal smuggling operations to avoid taxation, to avoid accountability, et cetera. And so when Rand Paul, the U.S. senator from Kentucky, stood up in May and said, hey, before we give them $45 billion, why don't we have an inspector general who can account for all of this? And he was shouted down. No, the consequences are what we're seeing today. These weapons are showing up in Europe, in Africa, and I'm sure they're going to show up elsewhere in the hands of people that shouldn't have these weapons. But now they do.
Well,
shouldn't have these weapons. In other words, it's been a gravy train. A lot of the money been kicked back. That's a TFX scandal. To Democrats, they could use to steal the midterm election. The Biden crime family is operating in full knowledge of what's going on. Everyone in the world except the American people know that Ukraine is a cesspool of corruption. And yet the beat goes on. We're supposed to be pro-Ukraine. We're supposed to give America our lives, our money, our treasury, our weapons to fight a war to the last American soldier. My God, that's what they want to do. And they'll do it if goddamn American people will let it be done. That Biden is flooding the America with millions of migrants. They're not getting the jab. This is the grand replacement theory. It's not a fantasy. It is a fact. 250,000 a month are pouring into the USA.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice.
anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
So this vacuous airhead who calls herself Vice President of the United States is down in Florida speaking to a pro-abortion rally. And she leaves certain words out talking about the Declaration of Independence. Listen to this. A promise we made in the Declaration of Independence that we are each endowed with the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness, she said. Here's the actual text for comparison. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So she leaves out the Creator, and she leaves out the right to life. I mean, of course she's going to do that. Why? Because she's there promoting the death clinic. You know, I mean, my God, this is just embarrassingly bad. Just embarrassingly bad. Well, every now and then we got a great truth speaker out there. You've been hearing two of them, Scott Ritter and Colonel McGregor. And as you can tell, all this money, all this weapons, Ukraine is a black hole for money and weapons. But it's really a titanic fight for the future of humanity because the Zionists, the globalists are all in on Ukraine, all in on Ukraine. Remember, as I've reported before, Jacob Rothschild had declared that Vladimir Putin is an enemy of the New World Order and that the New World Order cannot proceed without Ukraine. And remember, the vast majority of the population in Israel are not descendants of the tribe of Judah. They're actually descendants of, they're Khazarians, or descendants of Khazaria, which is present-day Ukraine, and they want to return to Khazaria to make it the new Zion. They want a second Israel in the area now known as Ukraine. This is all so fierce. They're exercising all the pressure they can, all the control over Congress. Remember, not only are the overwhelming majority of the officials in the media Zionists and Israelis. I mean, how often have I reported to you my panels of 100 executives from CNN, 100 executives from NBC, 100 executives from the New York Times, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. How many times have I emphasized that the Rothschild banking empire, which isn't satisfied with controlling only 80% of the world's wealth, wants it all, 100%. and own both Reuters and the Associated Press. And remember, Cynthia McKinney revealed on Press TV with an Iranian host, and she told me later she thought everyone knew about the pledge, that new members of Congress that asked to sign a pledge to put the interests of Israel ahead of the United States. The interests of Israel ahead of the interests of the United States. What the hell are we electing them to go to Congress to represent our interest? Our interest of our district, the interests of our district, or the interests in the case of the representatives, or the interests of our state in the case of United States Senator. Not the interests of Israel. I don't give a GD about Israel. I care about the United States. But we got our senators and congressmen all signing on to the pledge. So is it a surprise when Rand Paul suggests, hey, maybe before we send all these billions off to Ukraine, that we ought to have an inspector general figure out what happens to the money, and he's voted down? I mean, I'm telling you, our own Congress is betraying us, we the American people. Makes me think that Bronson lawsuit, which is citing, you know, hundreds of members of Congress of having sold out the American people, is spot on. Spot on. And, of course, the Supreme Court declined to take it, just as the Supreme Court declined to take my case, which State of the Nation had declared as maybe the single most important issue to come before the Supreme Court in our lifetime, because it had to do with your right and my right to a trial by jury before they forfeit. We forfeit our lives, our liberty, or our property. Serious issues. Sandy Hook was only in the game because that was the lawsuit that originated my discovery that the state of Wisconsin does not allow its own citizens to have a trial by jury in a case where there are grossly disputed facts. I mean, the facts in this case could not have been more opposite. Here we got the legal fiction, Leonard Posner, claiming he lost his son at Sandy Hook. And here I'm asserting nobody died at Sandy Hook, which means that Leonard Posner cannot have lost a son at Sandy Hook, and I guarantee you 100%. He nor no one else lost any children at Sandy Hook. It was a big, monstrous game they're playing on us. And Eric Holder is going on to maintain the farce to this very day, to this very effing day. It is disgusting. This was a Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Eric Holder, Governor Malloy, Connecticut State Police, FEMA drill that was run. It was blatant. It's right on the Connecticut State FEMA agenda. It lists many exercises in a time period, including L-366, involving children at Sandy Hook on 14 December 2000. It's right on the damn schedule. I sent the Supreme Court the damn schedule. I sent the Supreme Court the damn FEMA manual. I sent the damn Supreme Court a photograph showing it had been a fraud coming from the Connecticut police own files. And still they didn't hear what may be the most important issue to come before the Supreme Court in our lifetime. What's wrong with our Supreme Court? We knew the DOJ is politicized. We know the FBI is politicized. We know damn well Barack Obama and Eric Holder don't give a damn about the American people. Not a damn. And they are behind the scene running the shop. I guarantee. Unbelievable stuff. You thought I got this complete puppet on a string, guy called Biden, and there are multiple Biden body doubles. They've even got a Biden mask. In some of the cases, you can see where it comes down around the neckline. This is all such fraud, and the Democrats are behind it 100%. The Democrats are into this fraud and fakery 100%. And the new guy they're going to move up to replace Biden's chief of staff, who's getting the hell out of Dodge, is one of the big COVID hoax vaccine promoters.
Well, hey, everybody, we're back. I don't know what happened. Let me get Jim back right here. Well, let me give Jim a call. I don't know why we dropped. Hey, this is Mitch, Revolution Radio. Come on down and join us. There's Jim.
Yeah.
Hey, what happened?
I don't know what you mean. I've been talking for 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
No. Just just a few seconds ago, we just dropped.
Really?
Yeah, just a few seconds ago. Not, you know, less than 20 seconds. I mean, just enough time for me to say, look, Jim dropped, and I called you right back.
Well, can we get back on the air?
We're back now, Jim.
Okay, can we play the clip?
I can't get the clip to play. Fox is blocking it because I'm not subscribed to Fox.
Can I play the clip?
Sir?
Can I play it?
Sure you can. Just share your screen so we hear it. Your sound. Make sure you share your sound and screen.
Okay, I get you. Let's see what I can do here. I don't know. I don't see how I'm going to try it, Mitchell. Let me see what the hell we can do here. Let me see what happens.
Okay, let me see if I hear it, we'll all hear it.
The gun, which is an AR-15, I asked him, I said, please, you know, stop, go away.
Here we go. Can you hear it?
Yes.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. If you're a normal person, it's a pretty weird experience watching Joe Biden's presidency get euthanized by his own party. On one hand, there's an undeniable thrill to it. You have to admit that. Biden is the most destructive president in American history. More things have broken under his watch than under any other president. Joe Biden deserves to be driven from office and disgraced. But for this, breaking federal classification rules, some of the stupidest and most dishonest laws Congress has ever passed, it's like arresting El Chapo for expired plates. It's missing the point. But it looks like that's what's going to happen. It seems like every day one of Biden's lawyers shows up with more sheaves of classified documents, like a dog who's found another dead chipmunk under the house. This bunch was in his office at Penn, the one paid for by the Communist Party of China. These were found next to his sad little midlife crisis sports car in a garage in Delaware, and so on. You keep waiting for the White House physician to announce another document trove has been discovered after a routine colonoscopy. It could happen, because at this point you know exactly where this story is heading. Permanent Washington does not want Joe Biden to run for president again. This is how they're sending that message. Even CNN has decided to become interested in Joe Biden's misdeeds 2 years into his presidency. They're doing segments on how classification laws protect this country from its mortal enemies like Russia. So you know for certain the order has gone out. Biden is done. What a missed opportunity this is. If you're looking for crimes that Joe Biden has committed, there is a very long list. Our country is being invaded. The world is on the brink of nuclear war. American cities have become slums. Our economy is in shambles. Even our airplanes no longer take off on time. It's a disaster, and Joe Biden and his staff have a hand in all of it. In a country with a functioning government, Joe Biden would have been impeached before the first million illegal aliens crossed over our southern border. But no one did anything to stop it. So now they're arriving at the rate of 250,000 a month. Watch.
Customs and Border Protection sources exclusively tell Fox News more than 250,000 migrants were encountered at the border in the month of December, about as many people living in Scottsdale, Arizona, making it the highest month ever on record. In Eagle Pass, Texas, the migrant surge continues. Local Kinney County rancher Pam Schott had a harrowing experience with migrants on her property.
I looked out the back and I could see three illegals walking up to the house. I had gotten a gun, which is an AR-15. I asked them, I said, please, you know, stop, go away. And had the gun in my hands, and they, you know, just kind of looked at me and kind of smiled. And I was like, Otto, and just go away. And they refused to do so.
They're on the other side of the glass, trying to get in and not backing down.
Even though I have a high, powerful rifle in my arms, they are not backing down. That was scary.
rifle Joe Biden would like to take away from her. So that, writ large, is the biggest story of our lifetimes. It is the one thing Joe Biden has done that cannot be undone. Our great-grandchildren are going to live with the consequences of this. But you never know it from watching most of the news. There's an effective media blackout on Joe Biden's immigration policies and on their downstream effects on America. There are too many strangers pouring in at once, and as a result, the country is becoming chaotic. Here's a rare television news piece on what happened when officials in New York decided to house some of Joe Biden's illegal aliens in a local hotel.
An employee there says that migrants have made an absolute mess of the place. You're standing in front of it. Is that true?
Yeah, well, what we're hearing from that employee is that the hotel is completely overrun. He says, you know, of course, some people just looking for that better life. But as a result, the hotel is a mess and he fears for his safety.
We don't have any guests anymore. They sold the entire hotel from the fourth floor to the 28th floor. It's all migrants. Mm-hmm. So we got people who are getting drunk, using marijuana. They are punching and beating their wife.
What the hell? My preview pass has expired? I mean, unbelievable what's going on here. I am really quite shocked. Let me see if I can retrieve it. Keep it going.
It's a paywall, Jim.
A paywall? Man, I never hit a paywall before. I've watched a lot of Tucker on TV before, and I've never hit a paywall before.
Yeah.
Let me see what I can do.
That's not something you can do by yourself. So if Biden were to be taken down for opening the southern border, a lot of other people would go with him, get a lot of accomplices. Permanent Washington doesn't want that. And ultimately, and here's the point, permanent Washington is in charge. It's not the democracy you imagine. We're seeing that now. So if you want to understand, if you really want to understand how the American government actually works at the highest levels, and if you want to know why they don't teach history anymore, one thing you should know is that the most popular president in American history was Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon. Yet somehow, without a single vote being cast by a single American voter, Richard Nixon was kicked out of office and replaced by the only unelected president in American history. So we went from the most popular president to a president nobody voted for. Wait a minute, you may ask. Why didn't I know that? Wasn't Richard Nixon a criminal? Wasn't he despised by all decent people? No, he wasn't. In fact, if any president could claim to be the people's choice, it was Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon was reelected in 1972 by the largest margin of the popular vote ever recorded before or since. Nixon got 17 million more votes than his opponent. Less than 2 years later, he was gone. He was forced to resign. And in his place, an obedient servant of the federal agencies called Gerald Ford took over the White House. How did that happen? Well, it's a long story, but here are the highlights, and they tell you a lot. Richard Nixon believed that elements in the federal bureaucracy were working to undermine the American system of government and had been doing that for a long time. He often said that. He was absolutely right. On June 23, 1972, Nixon met with the then CIA director, Richard Helms, at the White House. During the conversation, which thankfully was tape recorded, Nixon suggested he knew, quote, who shot John, meaning President John F. Kennedy. Nixon further implied that the CIA was directly involved in Kennedy's assassination, which we now know it was. Helms' telling response? Total silence. But for Nixon, it didn't matter because it was already over. 4 days before, on June 19th, the Washington Post had published the first of many stories about a break-in at the Watergate office building. Unbeknownst to Nixon and unreported by the Washington Post, four of the five burglars worked for the CIA. The first of many dishonest Watergate stories was written by a 29-year-old Metro reporter called Bob Woodward. Who exactly was Bob Woodward? Well, he wasn't a journalist. Bob Woodward had no background whatsoever in the news business. Instead, Bob Woodward came directly from the classified areas of the federal government. Shortly before Watergate, Woodward was a naval officer at the Pentagon. He had a top-secret clearance. He worked regularly with the intel agencies. At times, Woodward was even detailed to the Nixon White House, where he interacted with Richard Nixon's top aides. Soon after leaving the Navy, for reasons that have never been clear, Woodward was hired by the most powerful news outlet in Washington and assigned the biggest story in the country. And just to make it crystal clear what was actually happening, Woodward's main source for his Watergate series was the deputy director of the FBI, Mark Felt. And Mark Felt ran, and we're not making this up, the FBI's COINTELPRO program, which was designed to secretly discredit political actors the federal agencies wanted to destroy, people like Richard Nixon. And at the same time, those same agencies were also working to take down Nixon's elected vice president, Spiro Agnew. In the fall of 1973, Agnew was indicted for tax evasion and forced to resign. His replacement was a colorless congressman from Grand Rapids called Gerald Ford. What was Ford's qualification for the job? Well, he had served on the Warren Commission, which absolved the CIA of responsibility for President Kennedy's murder. Nixon was strong-armed into accepting Gerald Ford by Democrats in Congress. Quote, "We gave Nixon no choice but Ford," Speaker of the House Carl Albert later boasted. 8 months later, Gerald Ford of the Warren Commission was the President of the United States. See how that works? So those are the facts. Not speculation. All of that actually happened. None of it's secret. Most of it actually is on Wikipedia. But no mainstream news organization has ever told that story. It's so obvious, yet it's intentionally ignored. And as a result, permanent Washington remains in charge of our political system. Unelected lifers in the federal agencies make the biggest decisions in American government and crush anyone who tries to rein them in. And in the process, our democracy becomes a joke. Now, you may have noticed that the very first person in the Trump administration the agencies went after was General Michael Flynn. Why Flynn? Because Mike Flynn was a career Army intel officer who ran the Defense Intelligence Agency. In other words, Mike Flynn knew exactly how the system worked. And as a result, he was capable of fighting back. 4 days after Donald Trump's inauguration, the FBI lured Mike Flynn into a meeting without his lawyer, concocted a series of fake crimes, and forced him to resign. So that's how things actually work in Washington. Let's stop lying about it. Joe Biden, meanwhile, whooped like a hyena when the Justice Department destroyed Mike Flynn. So there is, we have to say, a certain perverse justice in watching something very similar happen to Joe Biden himself 6 years later. Joe Biden does not deserve our sympathy. He's being shafted, but don't weep for him. And yet the rest of us do deserve a better system, an actual democracy. When people nobody voted for run everything, you are not living in a free country. Will Cain is the co-host of Fox and Friend Weekend, the host of the Will Cain podcast, and our friend who joins us tonight. Will Cain, thanks so much for coming up. I think it's very obvious that Biden is being shafted by his own people, people whose identities will probably never come to light. But I find it interesting it's on this traffic ticket offense and not on the fact that he's destroying the country by opening the southern border. Why is no one saying that?
You know, I think it also, Tucker, could even begin in a more entertaining and petty fashion in that I think this story begins with Joe Biden's senility and incompetence, so much so that Democratic politicians and those who have a vested interest in using Joe Biden as a useful idiot go, wow, he's kneeling in front of the Golden State Warriors. Wow, he's calling Kamala Harris president. This guy can't be elected again. He can no longer be our useful idiot. I think his term as their useful idiot has expired. And so they're willing to now indulge in this, as you point out, classified traffic ticket. There's classified documents floating all over Washington in unsecured locations. But what I find fascinating, Tucker, is they're also willing to say that there are potential, we know this, you and I know this, everyone watching knows this, corrupt government deals between the Biden family and foreign adversaries that are antagonistic to the American interest. I'm shocked to see that kind of thing on, for example, CNN now, talking about Joe Biden's brother. And so that leads us to this. If, and I agree with the terminology, if permanent Washington thinks Joe Biden can no longer serve as their useful idiot, he can't be reelected in 2024, it's time to sell him down the river. And it's time to come up with a more important and harder job for them, finding another name.
What's infuriating to me, and again, I just want to say if anyone deserves this kind of treatment, it's the guy who hates the country he leads, Joe Biden. So I'm not weeping for him. But I do think, call me naive, voters ought to be in charge of these decisions. In a democracy, voters get to decide who the president is. They can vote for anyone they want because it's their country. I have to say, I'm wondering how long it's going to be before Michelle Obama starts getting warm and affectionate treatment on CNN.
Well, first, to Joe Biden, and I understand you're not extending sympathy, but I guess here's the moral of that story, Tucker. Live by the sword, die by the sword.
Yes.
If you are elected through manipulation of the American public and anti-democratic means, which no doubt about it, the election 2 years ago was anti-democratic at the very least by manipulating the public's access to information and therefore our minds, then you will go down by the same very same powers that aided you on your way to perceived power. Now, you have said this. You have mentioned the name Michelle Obama. I think the Democrats are in a real tough spot. It maybe. Or does Gavin Newsom get the treatment you're describing for Michelle Obama? You're going to have trouble. You and I are going to have trouble coming up with any other name outside of those two, I would suggest. Michelle Obama, Gavin Newsom.
Man, if they can sell Gavin Newsom after what he has done to the state of California, then you will know it's all fake. Because no one who lands in LAX is going to vote for that guy.
And we do know it's all fake, and it is all fake. And they've gone after Trump because he's got a plan to get rid of, to eviscerate the senior executive service. It's called Schedule F. It's been impossible to uproot him because they have a kind of tenure as civil servants, but he has a plan. We'll be right back.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, it's pretty terrific stuff. I think Tucker's actually knocking it out of the park day after day after day. It's a one show I encourage people to watch. Perhaps the only show on television that actually gets it right, doing the best he can. He's not really sufficiently conversant with conspiracies, moon landing, 9/11, Sandy Hook, I think they escape him. That he's coming around at JFK is a good sign. Are they turning on Biden? Democrats get honest about classified doc scandal. He should have a lot of regrets. I mean, there's a lot going on. I think what Tucker's key point was, they have decided they're going to get rid of Biden. They're going to get rid of Biden. And it's going to happen. I mean, what he's saying is the deep state had been running the effing government all along, and that democracy, our voting, has very little to do with it. We've seen after 2020 and 2022, it has, how the people feel, has nothing to do with it. There was overwhelming sentiment for Donald Trump and his allies across the board. Overwhelming. And yet we got this guy, this puppet in a rubber mask. I guarantee it, Joe Biden, Eric Holder, and that crowd are running the show behind the scene. It is outrageous. It is disgusting. These are people who have complete contempt for democracy. They don't give a damn about you or me or the Constitution of the United States. Unbelievable. And yes, I'm going to open the line 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Here we get a breaking. Former FBI agent Charles McGonigal, who was head of counterintelligence in the New York field office, said a part of the investigation was info supposed to tie Russia to Trump. He's been arrested for his lies, his ties to Russia. That's very peculiar. Look, Trump's a mixed bag on some counts, but no one has made a connection with the American people the way he has. The strongest argument for Trump is that deep state is trying so hard to dump him. That means he represents a real, bona fide, genuine threat. It's just like I represent a real, bona fide, genuine threat regarding Sandy Hook. They're dealing with me in using a corrupt judicial system. Even in a case that has huge constitutional ramifications, it's derailed, so the Supreme Court does not address it. This has nothing to do with the merits of the case. Nothing whatsoever. This is a total politicalization of the American judiciary. It's a bloody, bloody damn shame. And I'm just a token player in all of this. I just had a case that entailed issues that no one suspected, certainly not I. When I moved to Wisconsin, I had no idea that they had a method that allowed a judge to make up the facts when they were grossly disputed facts and treat them as though they didn't even exist. Stunning. Not fair to me, but I'm just one resident of Wisconsin. This affects every resident of Wisconsin. And under the 14th Amendment, where we're supposed to have equal justice under the law, it means that residents of Wisconsin are being deprived of a right that other citizens of other states enjoy to wit. Have their cases in courts of law handled in accordance with the Constitution of the United States. Remember, we're all dual citizens here. We're all citizens of our respective states. But we're also citizens of the United States. And as citizens of the United States, we are entitled to the rights that accrue to citizens of the United States by the United States Constitution. And I just happen to be in a peculiar situation where I learned and have been seeking to expose that there's a sham going on here in Wisconsin. A sham. Because Wisconsin residents are being deprived of their Seventh Amendment right. And it appears that may also be true in several other states where the Supreme Court, oddly enough, has never ruled about the applicability of the Seventh among the first 10 amendments to all 50 states. They have with regard to the other nine, not the Seventh. Well, the Seventh just happened to be of particular importance. Because according to the Constitution, we can't be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And in Wisconsin, they found a way of short-circuiting due process. Bad, bad, bad. My case just happened to expose it. I just had the wherewithal to carry it all the way to the Supreme Court. Honest to God, the legal reasoning in my brief to the United States Supreme Court, I'm talking about my petition for a rehearing, which anyone can download. You can't download the appendices, by the way. They've tucked those away. You can't just go publicly to the Supreme Court and download what ought to be available to every American citizen. In fact, to anyone who goes to the docket of the Supreme Court, they've hidden the appendices. Why? Because the appendices show Sandy Hook was a sham. Sandy Hook was a fraud. The appendices show it was a FEMA drill. The appendices show it was even on the Connecticut FEMA schedule for 14 December 2012. The appendices show that there were no bodies, no pools of blood, that it wasn't even an operating school. The Supreme Court had all of that, but not you as an American citizen. You could go there and you'll see, if you download the petition, there's a statement added to the petition that there are other documents in this case that if you want to access, you have to go to the clerk of the United States Supreme Court. How many people are going to do that? So I made them available right on my blog. Go to jameshfetzer.org, jameshfetzer.org, and do a search on a press release written by Ron Avery. And you'll see in the editor's note, you can download the petition for rehearing, and you can download the appendices, and you can see how egregious, how outrageous is a failure of the Supreme Court to take up my case. Not because it's me, but because it represents a right to a trial by jury that is your entitlement as a citizen of the United States. And the Supreme Court spent more time on deciding whether a baker had to cook a cake for an LGBT couple, then whether or not we have a right to a trial by jury. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm disgusted. And the way that Barack Obama and Eric Holder are running the United States using this puppet on a string, and he's no more than that. This person playing Joe Biden is not the real Joe. Every time I see a photo of the real Joe, you see how expressive is his face, how his smile goes from ear to ear, how he invariably has a shit-eating grin, how he's very articulate, animated. This guy is none of the above. No expressive face, no animation, no smile, no articulation. Doesn't even blink. Different shape and size of skull. Different handwriting, different signature. Every damn Democrat has to know. In fact, I can't believe everyone in Washington doesn't know. If I, sitting out here in Wisconsin, can figure this out, are you telling me people who are interacting with this slob, this complete puppet, this guy's a total joke, that Washington doesn't know this isn't the real Joe Biden? My God, he was in Congress for 30 effing years. They know. So what the hell is going on here? And the idea he's going to elevate now to his chief of staff, a guy who's been on the pro-COVID hoax, the whole fraud and promoting the lethal, deadly vax. How many friends and neighbors, how many of your relatives, how many of our children are going to die because we have this corrupt Democrat administration illegitimately in place? And it's just it's a house of cards. It has to come down. This is grotesque beyond belief. And we got a nitwit governor of Illinois who wants to take all of our guns? Thank God we still have constitutional sheriffs, and it is the sheriffs who uphold the Constitution, mind you. In Connecticut, they got rid of their sheriffs. That was very convenient in relation if you're going to perpetrate a massive hoax like Sandy Hook. Get rid of the sheriffs. I've been around quite a few years. I've never seen a country descend into a cesspool like this. And then we're gutting our own military to benefit the cesspool known as Ukraine, because the Zionists want to have a new Zion, a new Israel in Ukraine, and that they're gutting the United States. That's their contempt. Just as Tucker says, the senior executive service is calling the shots, and they don't give a damn about the American people. They do not give a damn. All they care about is power and control. That's all they care about. That's why Trump, having this brilliant schedule, have created a design by which he could fire a whole bunch of these people. They're virtually immune as things stand. And because, of course, they're participating, they're complicit in all the scam being perpetrated. I thought Tucker was very nice, really explained how even presidents come and go at the whim of the deep state. Very good. I'm no fan of Richard Nixon, but he was clearly shafted by Watergate. The director of the CIA, without any doubt, is more powerful than the president of the United States. The director of the CIA. Jack eventually came to the conclusion that he should have put Bobby in CIA instead of the Department of Justice as Attorney General. Yes. If Jack had done that, he'd probably have lived out his term, though he did have Addison's disease. He was not expected to live a long, healthy life. They did fear a Kennedy dynasty, that Jack had served two terms, that Bobby would serve two terms, that Teddy would serve two terms. They were scared shitless. Now they can't stand the idea of Trump serving one more term. Trump was just getting his feet wet. Trump came in without any administration. One of the realities about having our two-party systems is you basically have an administration in waiting to fill all these slots in government that are politically appointed positions. And there are a lot of them. Trump didn't have an administration in waiting. Trump came in as a guy who just wanted to do some good for the United States, in my opinion, notwithstanding some blunders. He's done a hell of a lot of good for the United States, including calling out the fake news media. How many Americans before Trump thought twice about simply taking the word of the major networks? But now we know they're all sham. They're all propaganda outlets. They're all controlled by the Rothschild banking industry, which wants to control the entirety of the world. They bought and sold the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, the WHO. And now they're trying to bring about a new worldwide medical protocol so the World Health Organization can exercise control over formerly sovereign nations, including our own. And have no doubt Biden above it. I mean, he's just you'd be better off with just an automatic pen to sign signatures, because it would be more honest and less deceptive. But they got to play us for suckers and saps. Well, they've been playing us for suckers and saps since they whacked Jack. That's quite a few years, my friend. That's quite a few years. 1963. I just turned 23. I was a huge fan. I would have given my life for JFK just as I would have given my life for Bobby Kennedy. I would have given my life for either. They were great Americans. They were in a position to do great good for the United States. That's why they were killed. Martin, too. Three of the greatest figures in American history killed. Because powerful entrenched interests wanted to continue the gravy train they're experiencing. Just an horrific period, during which, incidentally, all three assassinations occurred while Lyndon Johnson was vice president or president. Of course, Lyndon was the brains behind the assassination of JFK. So he could become president of all the people. If you have any doubt about it, read Till Nelson's brilliant book, LBJ, Mastermind of JFK's Assassination. He's got it right. Roger Stone has a parallel book on LBJ as the brains behind the assassination. Phil's more scholarly. Roger's easier to read. They both drive home the same point. And believe me, I've gone to school on this one. I have brought together the best experts. There isn't any room for doubt about it. None. But the Democrats can't deny any of their failings or shortcomings. They can't acknowledge that some of their presidents have been miscreants. Lyndon Johnson, give me a break. He used corruption from the beginning, the Box 13 scandal. They go through graveyards writing down the names of the departed and said, these guys deserve to vote as much as anyone alive. Lyndon was a master politician. He impressed a lot of people, but he was corrupt to the core. During a conversation I had with Madeline Duncan Brown, we were having lunch together, and talking about how John Connally had been asked to describe Lyndon, and he said that would take every adjective in the book. And Madeline, to my surprise, hadn't understood what he had meant by that. And I explained that was because he had so many attributes for good, but also so many attributes for evil. It would take all the adjectives, all the positive, but all the negative as well, to describe Lyndon Johnson among most complex characters ever to occupy the Oval Office. And he got there by means that were foul. Foul. And what's going on now? We got a Biden puppet in office by means that are equally foul, but involved manipulating the outcome of elections. You know, Dominion Machines has as its slogan, changing the way people vote. That's the slogan of Dominion voting machines, changing the way people vote? Yeah, changing it from Republican to Democrat. That's changing the way people vote. The way people vote is for the Republicans, for the GOP. But they change the way people vote to the Democrats. I mean, right there, Dominion, changing the way people vote. And you think, oh, that's because it's a new modern technology. I knew something was wrong when they first began to introduce these voting machines. And, of course, it's to put something between you and the outcome. Paper ballots no longer good enough. Hand counts no longer good enough. Why? Because they are highly accurate and reliable because they actually reflect how we actually do vote. I cannot be emphatic enough. Until we get rid of electronic voting machines, we are dead in the water as a democracy. We have no democracy with demonic voting machines. We do not have a democracy. You got professors from Princeton, Stanford hack these things in less than 5 minutes. I mean, it's ridiculous. Everyone knows. Which is why I say at my very first recommendation, we want to restore control of our own democracy. Get rid of the voting machines. Then get rid of gerrymandered districts. Use the Iowa model. A panel of retired judges will design the districts to make sure they're roughly equitable. You'll never get perfection. But you can get something a hell of a lot better. Get private money out of federal elections. All should be only financed by federal money. I mean, the way in which we are blitzed, the way in which we're manipulated, the propaganda, the lies, the deceit, the deception. Overwhelming. And then, as I said, restore the draft. Richard Nixon, whatever his virtues. And I wasn't particularly a fan. Among his calamitous blunders was taking us off the gold standard at the suggestion of Henry Kissinger to create the petrodollar so that the value of the United States currency was a function of its use for exchange and international oil transactions. Where even the Saudis are abandoning the petrodollar. The countries we've targeted, like Libya, like Iran, our country is Cuba, Venezuela, countries that don't like the petrodollar. Well, it's becoming a relic of the past. And with it, we're going to have our inflation is going to continue to soar. Those who have compared the United States with Weimar Germany prior to World War II have got it right. The corruption, the degradation, all this sex in schools, teaching third graders how to masturbate, not knowing the difference between boys and girls, and boys in the girls' rooms and all that, boys in athletics. It's creating chaos. It's a comparable form of decadence to what we had in Weimar Germany. Mark my words. A sign of the corruption of a nation has to do with how it treats its children and how it deals with vices, and whether or not protective of the rights of all of its citizens. We have lost that in spades. We've even vitiated our military. The United States does not have a military worth a goddamn. And I say, as a former Marine Corps officer, he used to have as a responsibility training young recruits to be United States Marines. I had 15 DIs and 300 recruits under my command. We'd pick up one series, train them, pick up another series, train them. And I tell you, what's going on today in the American military isn't worth spit. And the idea of vaccine our military, disgusting. Get rid of the vax. Get rid of these people. But how can we do it? As long as they have electronic voting machines, they can do any damn thing they want, and we can't do a damn thing about it. Something has to be done. What? Becomes a question. How can we deal with a situation where the American people are boxed in? We have no democracy. We want to change it. We voted for change in 2020. We voted for change in 2022. We got little or no change because they can steal the damn election using Dominion voting machines, which advertises as its own motto, changing the way people vote. Yeah. You thought you voted Republican? Well, I got news for you. The Dominion voting machine changed the way you voted. That's what they do. That's what they're there for. And they're fabulously successful. They're accomplishing their goals. Thanks for being here. See you on Wednesday.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and